You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Dr. Waleed Faris. He's a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington, and he's the author most recently of The Confrontation. He joins us today to talk about President Obama's outline of the updated Afghanistan policy, which includes sending an additional 4,000 personnel to the region and, of course, a financial aid package for Pakistan to help stabilize that country. And Dr. Faris, it's always good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
You've had a reaction on a couple of different ways to this update by the Obama administration. One of the things you're concerned about is the diplomatic approach, which you endorse, but you're worried that there's about to be developed a good Taliban versus bad Taliban policy. Explain what concerns you about that.
Well, to clarify this, let me just say that the general direction of the Obama administration to escalate in the confrontation with the Taliban and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and across the border, along with the Pakistani government, is a good thing, which I endorse, which I support. In addition, of course, to the plethora of measures that the administration is going to take in terms of training in Afghani forces, in terms of, as you said in the intro, backing financially and in other ways the Pakistani government. The two areas where I have concern are, number one, the fact that the president left a space in his speech to the possibility of engaging with moderate elements of the Taliban. He did not say it specifically. He had said it in the past. Members of the administration have mentioned that also in the past. What would be encouraging to do is to engage with non-Taliban forces. I mean, one logically will have to begin in mobilizing and in organizing those who are against the Taliban, and they are in the majority of Afghanistan. One will worry about anybody who would distance himself from the Taliban after the defeat. So my position today was the strategy should be first to focus on militarily defeating the Taliban, which would generate a number of disenchanted Taliban, then you could connect with them. But if you begin the strategy with, I'm escalating on the military level, and at the same time I'm opening my door to moderate Taliban, you're going to only encourage the Taliban to basically harden their position. Number two, with regard to Pakistan, one has to be very careful about sending aid without knowing exactly where that aid is going to go, because the Pakistani intelligence agencies in the past, at least parts of them, have had friendship or sympathies to the Taliban. So these would be the two areas, I'd say, where I would have some concerns about the plan.
Well, let's follow up on both of those, Dr. Faris, in reverse order. Obviously, the Pakistani government is considered extremely weak right now. It's given away concessions in the Sawat Valley, where Sharia law has been imposed very recently. What should we expect that money to go towards?
Look, first of all, the listeners need to understand that what we have in Pakistan is the best we can have now, at least in this generation. Under Musharraf, he controlled the army, but then he would not move forward full-fledged against the Taliban pockets, because he, as a former commander of the army, knew exactly that some sectors inside the defense circles in Pakistan would not want to do so. So we encouraged a democratic change, which occurred, and now you have a secular party. The People's Party is a very secular party. Its former leader, former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto, was assassinated basically by the Taliban. So this leads us to believe that we cannot have in Islamabad today a better coalition, political coalition, than the one leading the cabinet. The problem, again, remains the same. Should it be, the previous president or the current president, the problem is how to measure the influence of the jihadist or the Islamist, if you wish, inside the institution, the military institution and the political institution in Pakistan. So, going back to my point, we need to be very crafty in working with the Pakistani government in making sure that that foreign aid or that strategic aid will go to sectors, have to be very specific, sectors that are anti-Taliban, that would serve this government and will not fail it.
You mentioned, Dr. Faris, that you're supportive of the military focus, the 17,000 troops, and then another 4,000 personnel announced today by the president. What kind of intensity do we need in this military operation? Does it need to look like 2001? What will we need to do in order to have the effect that you mentioned earlier, where a decisive military campaign will drive folks out of the Taliban?
That's an excellent question. In 2001, it was basically a collapse of the regime. I mean, we were moving along with the Northern Alliance to collapse the regime in Kabul, the Taliban. Now it's the other way around. They are moving from their hideouts and enclaves and across the border to collapse the democratically elected regime in Kabul and other cities. So mission number one, it seems to me, of the additional 17,000, and may go even higher than the 17,000 in the future, is to consolidate the strength of the government, to defend the government, and then to take back all the provinces that have been penetrated by the Taliban. Mission number two is to make sure that the border is going to be sealed off, at least from the side of NATO forces, and then hoping that the Pakistani army will do the same on the other side of the border. Mission number three, and I think that's the most important long term, and that's where the 4,000 U.S. Military personnel is going to be calling the game, calling the shots, to train additional Afghani forces at a higher pace and expand Afghani forces in the same way we've expanded the Iraqi forces. That's the secret. That's the key. If we can do that within 2 years, meaning double the size and the strength of the Afghani army, while we are securing the cities, then we can think of an Afghanization of security, in the sense that they will be taking mission number one and then moving to mission number two, and we in Afghanistan will have what the mission in Iraq will be looking like in a few years from now, meaning support and not acting directly.
Last 20 seconds here, Dr. Ferris. What do we need from Hamid Karzai?
We need from him to do two things. Number one, to engage himself with those sectors of the Afghani society that he has not engaged with, more with women, with students, with ethnic minorities, just to back up this plan with maybe even civil society moves, demonstrations, just to create a dynamic. And on the other hand, of course, make sure that he will order his troops to work with the NATO coalition shoulder to shoulder, as we say, to show that the Afghani people basically is standing with NATO, with the coalition against the Taliban. That's what he needs to do.
Dr. Ferris, unfortunately, our time is up. Always great to have you with us, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Waleed Ferris, Senior Fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, author of The Confrontation. This is Dateline Washington.